Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ohtani crushed that one, 400 feet. So it is 3-0. Did you enjoy when there was actually something on the line in this game?
What do you mean? Oh, back when it was...
We decided who gets home field advantage of the World Series.
Yes, I did.
Even though it kept you more honest, but if you're a team that's struggling or whatever, you know, you don't actually do the extra effort to get the team...
Well, because
the Dodgers home field advantage,
it made the biggest stars on the best teams perform to the highest level.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made the All-Star game. That's what makes the All-Star game great.
It's also fun seeing, you know, you have Ohtani in the game, you know, you've got Bryce Harper playing, you know, you got Gunnar Henderson, you got Juan Soto, you got Aaron Judge. It's like you get the stars in this one. You're never getting the NFL. The NFL just needs the name, Pro Bowlers or whatever. And that's it. You get a nice little award. Sends you a nice little Tiffany Trophy to home.
Move it back to what it used to be.
I mean, all pro matters more, but...
Of course. But yeah, move it back to what it used to be.
It'll never be that way. They're never going to do that again. But even the competitions, you know, they do the fastest man, which they don't even care. Remember Tyreek Hill didn't even really care. He was like jogging, the fastest man. And like, what are you doing?
I used to love watching...
The drone drop they had 2 years ago.
I used to love watching the kicking competitions. I used to love watching the best 40-yard dash, the bench competitions where you get to see guys like Larry Allen, Willie Rofe, guys like go out there and see how many times they can throw up 225. That was always really fun.
The quarterback skills competition is fun.
It was great. It's okay. I mean, I like it now, but they've gimmicked it up so much that I'm
But it's like during the day, right? Like they have like a embargo on it. People aren't putting it on social media or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's during the day. And yet they'll show it at night or whatever. It's like before, and it's like, man, that loses all of its luster.
Well, and now they bump it around everywhere because like everybody used to love to go to the Pro Bowl because it was in Hawaii.
Yeah,
I wanted to play a game in Hawaii. Nice. So And you used to be able to watch it at night because they're still playing during the daytime.
Just have a drinking competition, have them bowl against each other, whatever, man.
Yeah, let's do a Kelsey Chug contest.
Nobody wants to go to it. It gets so bad, you get guys like Derek Carr in starting, the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so watered down. You get players that don't even remotely deserve to be considered all pros.
I want the days back when I was seeing Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. You got Ray Lewis at the back, like in the linebacker position. Like I said, Sean Taylor blowing up Brian Moorman on a fake punt that they ran.
It's a Pitt State guy.
Do what?
Be careful. It's a Pitt State guy.
Who, Brian?
Moorman, yeah.
Yeah. He was a good punter. For Buffalo forever.
So Quinn Meinerz for the Broncos, by the way, signed a 4-year, $80 million contract extension. Remember guards were getting the bag this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be, think about Trey Smith.
Yeah.
The price of paying your guards going way up now that those idiot Broncos
did it on purpose.
Wisconsin Whitewater is what he came out of. I do like the NHL All-Star competition.
Yes.
The hardest slap shot and who's the fastest skater and stuff like that. Because they try, and you get the stars of the game, you know, in the hockey one.
This was the first year I ever watched it, and I thought it was awesome.
But football, you won't get that. And I enjoy football the most. But again, you have so many guys hurt or not wanting to play, and I get it. I get it. And Burrow's idea of doing it after week 13 was stupid.
Yeah, no. Why do
first
it
of
mid-season?
Why would you take a Mahomes or somebody like that to go to the middle of the season on a stretcher? Or Joe Burrow himself is Mr. Hurt playing in a Pro Bowl. No. It also gives the NFL, if they did go to 18 games, it would give them 2 bye weeks, which means 2 more TV windows. Or that extra TV window. So you already have your bye week anyway, but if you had 2 bye weeks, you'd have 1 extra week of where the NFL would probably jettison off at least another game to a streamer, like Peacock, get another game, or Amazon, get another game, or Netflix, get your second game. Give a game to ESPN Plus, maybe NFL Plus, like they have, but give a different direction for that. Anyway, back to baseball for a minute. The National League still leading the American League 3-0 in the All-Star game. I've yet to see a Royal in the game yet. Is that true? Does that still hold true?
Yeah, I haven't seen Bobby and or any of the pitchers or Salvi yet. So.
I don't see. I'll let you know when somebody comes in. But more on J.J. Piccolo, the second half here. Some of the greatest sound bites from his interview today on Cody and Gold with Gold and Dusty. It was J.J. on his first pick. Jack Caglione falling to them. A lot of people didn't think he'd fall to them all the way at six, and I love the Royals' first-round selection.
Yes and no. I mean, it's so difficult to predict the five picks ahead of us. We had a good idea if he got past a certain team that he was going to end up being our pick. You know, there was a lot of confusion and rumors about who the first pick's going to be, that certainly would have affected what happened down the road. But we did anticipate that he would be there for us, he and another player, and we had Jack ahead of the other player, and, you know, we were excited that he was there. I mean, it's big, monster, strong power that you don't see all that often. We've got a lot of guys in this draft room that have scouted for many, many years, and that was repeated over and over again. You don't see guys like this. They all have things to work on. There are things they all need to get better at, but when you just look at what he did, his body of work at the University of Florida as a hitter, it's hard to find too many comps to what he did and how he did it. I mean, just, you know, 500-foot home runs. You don't see that all that often. So we're excited, and, you know, he's got a chance to really impact the game of baseball, not just the Royals, but the game of baseball.
Yeah, 500-foot home run. This kid had the game with nine straight home runs in games, tied an NCAA record. Florida's all-time leader. He's also the only guy in SEC history to have back-to-back 30 home run seasons. Oh, and also he's a dominant pitcher as well. Yeah, you might remember this 516-foot shot.
Another fastball. Look out, face on the scoreboard. That actually might hit it. That went over the scoreboard, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Condren Ballpark. Another Jack for Jack, 21st of the year. And that's seven straight games that he has left the yard.
I've never seen anybody hit a baseball wearing orange and blue like this guy. He's been nothing short of amazing.
Wow.
The scoreboard.
That's who you're getting. That's who you're getting. But of course, he's a two-way player, right? He's a two-way player. This was Jack during his press conference when the Royals select him. Here's Cags talking about being a two-way player.
Yeah, I mean, the plan is kind of built off of what I did the past couple of years in college, and really just developing more on the pitching side of things as well as the offensive side of things. It's going to be a process, and it's something that I'm very excited that I have the opportunity to do. So, you know, I'm very thankful that they're giving me the opportunity to do both, and, you know, I won't let them down.
Yeah, they're getting the opportunity, but, man, that power, man. I'd love to see you on the mound. Hey, pitching's the biggest premium, right? But give me that bat every day in the lineup. Give me that bat every single day in the lineup. Now, J.J. Talked about Cags contributing early. How soon could we see him?
Well, you got to get a read on how advanced he is, but certainly being selected where he was selected and then looking at some of the more recent draft selections that high in the draft, they can move quickly, you know, but you want to do it the right way. You know, there's a lot that's been said about young hitters coming to the major leagues and why they've struggled. Well, in our opinion, it's because we're bringing them to the big leagues too quickly. So you want them to get there as quick as they can, but you want them to be prepared to have success. And we'll know when the time's right. We'll watch him go out next year and play in the minor leagues. And, you know, if he's dominating the minor leagues like he did the SEC, then he's really close. You know, but, you know, there's some steps along the way that he needs to take so he's a complete hitter when he gets to Kansas City.
You don't see guys taking near as long anymore. But it gives you something fun to watch, doesn't it? When he gets to Quad Cities or when he gets to Northwest Arkansas or he gets to Omaha, how many bombs does Cags have? It's going to be fun. People are going to be calling for him right away. And it's going to be his bat. I know he wants to do both. He's a better hitter right now. He's okay at pitching, but he's a better hitter.
It's interesting that he has the most home runs or the only player to have back-to-back 30
in the history of the SEC.
Which is crazy when you think of guys that came out of the SEC and great college baseball players like Bo Jackson, like Frank Thomas. Like guys like that who are hitting the absolute cover off the ball, and they never did it. And then you're looking at this cat, and he's done it. Especially with how competitive the game has evolved into.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's some guys like Mike Moustakas. He was the California home run champion when he was in high school, but he selected before he goes to college. 3-3 now. What's happened in this All-Star game? I've been consumed by JJ there.
I didn't see how the American League got the two runs, but
it's tied up.
Hit a single.
Tied up now. Who's
Fry?
Who scored here? Let's figure out who
Soto scored.
Soto scored. Soto got two RBI.
Okay, so Soto
got two RBI
one.
In that double. So no Royal has entered the game yet, but we're only in the bottom of the third, two outs in this situation now. JJ was also asked about what he wants to see improve on the second half of the season, where he wants to see the Royals improve.
Well, I think our success really, starts with the consistency of our starting rotation. They've given us a chance to compete in every game that we've been in. Very few games have we had to go to the bullpen for five innings, six innings. And that's what good teams do. They have good starting pitching. We also need to continue to produce with runners in scoring position. When we evaluate, why our offense is different than last year, so statistically across the board, we may be somewhat similar. But the big difference is we're putting the ball in play with runners in scoring position and taking advantage of our opportunities to score. I think from a, improvement standpoint, I do think we can take better at bats, and I do think we can be more productive overall from an offensive standpoint than our bullpen. And I think there are guys down in that bullpen that didn't start off all that well that are now finding their stride and pitching much better. And then you add Hunter Harvey in there. I think the bullpen is going to be a big key to our success in the second half.
And you know what the most beautiful thing is, Blake? They get the White Sox to begin with. You get the White Sox, you take care of business, you at least get two out of three. And I know they beat Cleveland, a couple weeks ago. But Cleveland, they're sitting there playing the Padres. And they have Detroit coming up. Detroit just beat them 3 out of 4. So they can't have a ton of confidence going against them at this point because they kind of had their number.
Well, Cleveland, I think on Sunday I was driving back and I was actually looking at Cleveland's record. And I think they had lost the last 6 out of 10 into the All-Star break.
Yeah, they were limping into it. And, of course, you got have the Phillies that are sitting there, 29, 30 games over .500. They've got the Orioles for a set, too. So it's not easy for Cleveland at this point.
No.
And everything's on the table.
And when the Royals come back – and they have the White Sox, and then I believe the Cubs come to town. So you got two teams.
They have the Cubs right before the trade deadline, and they're wanting to sell off that team.
Yeah. So you got White Sox, Cubs. That's two back-to-back series that the Royals, if anything, should snag 2 out of 3. If not, at least sweep one, if not two of them.
Yeah, and they've been a very good home team as well when the team's at home to 31-18.
Especially Vinny Pascantino at home.
Get Vinny at home. Do you see that sign they had for fans saying they love the fans or whatever?
Did not.
Yeah, it's on Royals on Twitter there. But, yeah, I mean, you look at who the Royals have coming up the second half of the season. It's going to be fun, man. They're 52-45, just 7 games back behind Cleveland. I know Minnesota stands there in front of them, but they have games against the Twins. You got games against Cleveland. I mean, I love this series. I mean, it felt like the adrenaline rush again. I know early in the season we looked at that Cleveland. Remember when the Royals took care of business against Cleveland at home? And we're sitting there going, okay. And that one game was rained out in Cleveland. You're sitting there going, okay. I felt that buzz with Boston because they were sitting barely ahead of the Royals in the wild card.
Yeah, man. That Boston series kind of bummed me out.
So they got
started
three
hot.
Yep. It was a fun series to watch, especially that Sunday. It was a winnable game there too. Chicago for 3 at home. Then Arizona for 3 at home, Chicago for 3 at home. They have 9 straight games at home. And again, they're 31-18 at home, 9 straight at home. Then they have to go on the road. Oh, but where is that? Back to Chicago White Sox. So you get 9 games at home for the Royals. Then they turn and play Chicago White Sox. Then they go to Detroit. Then they get Boston and St. Louis at home before the Twins. Again, the stuff becomes very winnable, man.
That's a great starting stretch to have
nine at home.
To have hot baseball right after the All-Star game.
You have White Sox twice.
Yeah. White Sox twice. You have bad teams playing baseball, all right? And you get to play them. And what do we always say? Keep bad teams playing bad baseball.
And they've been keeping good teams playing bad baseball.
Yeah.
Where Cleveland will play three against San Diego, four against Detroit, three at Philly, two more against Detroit, then four against Baltimore.
That's a rough stretch for them.
There's a lot to be decided, man.
That's a great stretch to make up some big games right there.
They still have to go to Kansas City for four. They've got Kansas City coming to Cleveland for three more games. I mean, it's not easy sledding for Cleveland. Coming up next, though, Eli Drinkwitz, the head football coach of University of Missouri. It was Mizzou Day with Carrington Harrison and the Drive. I love the interview. It was also Mizzou talking today at the SEC Media Days. And so every day he's doing it. Tomorrow's Kansas Day. Next day after that's Kansas State Day. So I have Leipold for you tomorrow. I have some Leipold stuff with Carrington. Anyway, here, coming up next, I'll play Eli with Carrington.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Still 3-3 in the All-Star game. Let's address a few things on the text line, Blake. Blake. It's your name, right?
That is my name.
That's what I thought it was.
Don't wear it out.
So I haven't been calling you Mac, have I?
No, you haven't.
No, text line says, is Mac producing tonight and tomorrow morning?
No, text line. This is Blake. Schneids.
Blake I basically Schneider. Said Blake after Blake every Schneiders. Break. I said Blake.
Yeah, you say it every time we come
every
back.
Every time we come back, I say Blake. Another
not
one.
Listening.
I don't think people listen to you, Blake, because another one says Bo Jackson played SEC baseball too, which you said.
Weirdly enough, us on the sports radio do know a little bit about what we're talking about. And even though I might be a little young, I still know my history.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Greatest conference, in my opinion, in the country, the SEC. Eli Drinkwitz was on with Carrington Harrison. He had his Mizzou day. And loved the Eli Drinkwitz interview. And last year was one of those put-up years for him. You know, go ahead and have a great season. He had that team. They would have made the playoffs had it been expanded last year. Here's Eli with Carrington from earlier.
Yeah, I think that's pretty exciting. Obviously, it brings back a lot of memories of growing up and playing college football on PlayStation and Sega and all that good stuff. And now for our guys to get to experience it, I know they're really excited. And it'll be a cool thing for the fans. I know that everybody was already upset that, you know, we weren't ranked very high and our defense wasn't ranked. So, I mean, anything that creates controversy is always fun to be a part of on Twitter.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, joining us on the show today. Coach, it is impossible to get away from it. How cool is it to see the amount of hype and excitement that fans have for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when you start to build a program, you want to stir up the fan base so that they have a raised expectation of performance of your football team. And so that's obviously what last year's success has done, and obviously the way we've recruited. You know, there's a better sense of expectation about what we want to accomplish. But with that also comes, you know, an expectation from our team and our coaches on what we expect out of our fan base and looking forward to them showing up to Faurot Field and being excited about anybody that we play and maintaining the sellout streak that we've had. So it works both ways. I know they're excited about our upcoming team and we're excited about their response to it.
Coach, I'm guessing there has to be a fine line between, obviously, you don't want to be consumed by the outside noise, but you also want to embrace it, that people have these expectations because they expect a lot of you guys' team. You know, people do think you can make the college football playoff this year, potentially win the SEC. What is the balance between those two where obviously you want to keep guys grounded, but you want them to embrace every challenge that this year could potentially have?
Yeah, I think for us it's about having our own internal expectations and really not trying to measure up to anybody on outside. You know, inside this building, we know what the talent level is and the expectation of performance that we've had, that we've set. We know how hard we've worked in order to earn the opportunities that are going to be presented to us. And so it's really not about listening to anybody outside of the building's expectation. It's about creating our expectations for our team, no different than we did last year. You know, there was a lot of surprise based on what we did, but I don't think anybody inside our team or our building was surprised at what we accomplished. We believed in ourselves before anybody else did, and I think that's really the same mentality that we have right now, which is, you know, we have a level of expectation and a belief in what our team can accomplish. Now our job is to go out there and work to do it.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, joining us on the show today. Coach, I want to get your opinion on Brady Cook. You know, there's certainly been sort of a love-hate relationship with the fans, it feels like, over the last couple of years. But it really seems like since that win against K-State, it feels like Missouri fans have really embraced him. And it seems like he's really grown as well, that you could feel his confidence growing and growing over the course of the season, that now he has been fully embraced by Missouri fans. And, I mean, he is now one of the better quarterbacks in college football this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the story of playing quarterback. Like, nobody loves you until you produce game-winning drives, and then everybody loves you. And that's no matter where you've been. You know, you have to produce the results, and no different than the fan base's relationship with me. That's part of it. But I think for Brady, he's never let the outside noise affect who he believes he is or the amount of work that he puts in to be successful. And, you know, he stays grounded. We talk to him all the time. We don't need a celebrity quarterback. We need a battlefield commander, and that's what he is. And he goes to war every single day to make himself the very best player he can for this football team.
Certainly a lot of the hype around this season with the quarterback is the wide receivers that he have. I do want to talk more specifically about Luther Burden as a guy that I think has a chance to be a Heisman finalist, maybe potentially win the award. I mean, how excited are you about that room? Because it's not just Burden. You returned so many producing starters from last year. You got some new blood in this team. I mean, this might be the best wide receiver group in all of college football this season.
Well, it's definitely a deep room, and I think it's deep because those guys have a love and competition, a brotherly competition every single day. But you got Theo Weiss, who's Mr. Consistent, durable, a great deep ball threat, as good as we got on the outside. You got Mookie Cooper, you got Marquise Johnson, you got Josh Manning, you've got Makai Miller, who, you know, last year was dinged up, but in the biggest moments, he was always there to make the catches. You think about the Florida game, you think about the first game of the season. I mean, that guy has been an incredible player and consistent force. And then you're bringing in these young guys. You've got James Madison, you've got Courtney Crutchfield, who in their own right have a special attribute and trait. So it's going to be exciting to see those guys compete and find their ways to help us win. Everybody on our team is going to have a role in helping us win, and they got to embrace that role. And whether that's catching 10 balls a game and 100 yards or whether that's blocking on special teams, I don't know what it's going to be, but everybody's going to contribute to winning.
I know that Luther Burden still wows me in some of the plays that he made last year. You see him every day. I'm wondering if he still has that effect on you, that even now after seeing him for not just as a college player but also as a high school player, to now see him grow into, I mean, this year he's going to get a lot of preseason awards and a lot of people are projecting him to be a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft.
He surprises me every day by the maturity that he presents, by how hard he works in the weight room, how low maintenance he is for the type of player that he has made himself to be. You know, nobody can predict what the future has for him as far as yardage, catches, draft. He's just trying to be the best version of himself right now, and I'm really proud of him for that.
Right now, we're talking to the coach of the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, here for a couple more minutes. Coach, you alluded to it a little bit with the recruiting success that you guys have had. Obviously, we can't talk specifically about a lot of these guys just because of the rules or everything, but what would you attribute this wave to? I mean, Missouri is recruiting at a level that they've never recruited at before, and then you think about some of the schools that Missouri is now routinely beating out for some of these prospects. What would you attribute a lot of this momentum right to in recruiting?
Well, I think it goes you know, recruiting is all about either selling what you've done in the past or what you plan to do in the future. And now we have the best of both. You know, we've sold what we've done in the past with player development, whether you're talking about wide receivers or offensive line or defensive players, first round draft picks. You know, those guys have been developed here, and we're selling the future of what we want to do with this North End Zone project and, you know, bowling in the entire stadium and really creating the atmosphere of being an elite program in the country. And, that's something people want to be a part of. I've got great assistant coaches. I mean, great men in this organization that both players and parents feel comfortable sending their guys to play for. And so it's really a good synergy right now, and we've got to maintain the momentum.
I was just going to ask you, how big is that, that whenever you go to a wide receiver, you can look at Luther Burden as a guy, hey, look at what we've done in his career. When you look at some guys on the defensive side, you know, you're putting guys in the first and second round at defense. Now when you go in those recruiting conversations, you can point to a kid, either whether it was at your former stop or your current stop, that you guys have had a lot of success in developing that talent.
Yeah, I think that's no better predictor of future success than past performance. And the past performances that we've had in developing our players, and whether that you're talking about Jacob Peeler when he was at Ole Miss or Cal or Brandon Jones, whether he's at Houston or here, or Kirby Moore at Fresno State, Curtis Looper at TCU or Auburn, Brian Early, whether he was at Houston, DJ Smith at App State and here, everywhere he's been, those guys have produced NFL players, and now – combine that with Coach Russell and what he does with athletic performance. We've got a great thing going right now. We just need great players. I think the way to elevate the program is continue to do what we've done better, but add better talent to it. And that's what we're trying to do in how we recruit.
Coach, obviously you've seen the viral video when you're excited about Enos Rankstraw when you guys get the recruit from him. How cool is it now to remember those moments? And now, you are now seeing those guys off to the NFL for the next phase of their career. Like, you have been with these guys for a journey over the last 4 or 5 seasons.
It goes back to core value number 4 for us, which is enjoy the journey. It's not about a destination. And those guys have been on a really hard journey. And man, I have so much appreciation for guys like Enos and JC and KAD and Darius Robinson and Javon Foster and Harrison Meavis. I mean, those guys believed in us when nobody else did, and they stuck to it. There was times when people left and it wasn't always roses around here, but they ignored the noise. They believed in what we were selling, and they stayed true to the process, and now they're reaping those rewards, and I'm really, really proud of them.
Right now, we're talking to the head coach of Missouri for a couple of more minutes here. Coach, I'm sure you get asked about this, but you guys lose maybe the best running back in college football last year, Cody Schrader. What is the plan to replace him this year?
Yeah, you don't replace Cody Schrader. I mean, you're never going to replace such an elite player, such a great leader, such a tough, talented young man. What you got to do is you got to find somebody else to be the very best version of themselves. And that's what we've got in that room. You've got Marcus Carroll, who led the Sun Belt in rushing last year. You've got Nate Noel, who's got a great understanding of how we run the outside zone, doing it at Appalachian State. You got Kewan Lacy, who is one of the best running backs in the recruiting class last year in the country. You've got two guys that have been here and run a lot of understand our system with Travis Jones and Jamal Roberts. And so I think we've got plenty of guys in that room. Now it's just up to them to step up and be the best version of themselves that they can be and trust themselves.
Coach, last couple of things here. We are heading into fall camp. You guys are getting ready for the season. Take fans into what are the next couple of weeks like? What are the week like for you? What are the weeks like for you and the team? What are you trying to see as you guys get ready to start the season here in about 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, our team is they've got two and a half weeks more of training done, and then they'll get a week off right before we report to fall camp. Our coaching staff will spend the last week of July really focusing on the details, making sure we're on the same page on how we're coaching, what fall camp's going to look like, what are the specific tasks that we all have to accomplish. And then when we report, we'll all move into a residence hall. We'll live together there for a week, just continue to build that brotherhood, that bond, playing for each other. And it'll be NFL channel football, man, 24/7. That's kind of what fall camp is. It's just 24/7 football, and you got to love it.
And that is the coach of the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, joining us on the show today as Missouri gets ready to hopefully win double-digit games and compete in the college football playoff for the first time. They start their season here coming up in about 6 weeks or so. Coach, happy to have you on today, man. Really excited for this upcoming season. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, MIZ.
There you go, Missouri head football coach Eli Drinkwitz on with Carrington. They'll play the first game against Murray State on August 29th. Yes, the whole receiving corps is coming back. Brady Cook's coming back as quarterback. Why shouldn't you expect greatness? Theo Weiss, Luther Burden. It's going to be incredible, but you lost Cody Schrader, but They did grab somebody that was awesome out of Georgia State, Marcus Carroll, to be a running back. And then also you got Nate Noel from App State. Both these guys had had 1,000 yards before in their career. So you got a two-headed monster going there for Missouri and that running game. Carrington has Kansas tomorrow. All interviews from Kansas. Going to be some big stuff. We'll see what all he's got tomorrow. And he's got Kansas State on Thursday. He hasn't released everybody's got on for K-State Day at this point. He will tomorrow, I'm sure. Kansas takeover tomorrow. He's got Lance Leipold coming on. He's got Brian Haney in studio tomorrow, so he's got quite a bit of stuff coming up for Kansas tomorrow. So if you're a big college football fan, make sure you're listening to that because he's got you covered on his takeover days. He's got Brandon McAnderson. He's got Devin Neal. He's got Lance Leipold, Jalen Daniels. And so he's going to be ready for Kansas tomorrow. Some over-unders I thought were interesting for the Chiefs. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. It's been fun tonight, Blake.
It's been fun. I wanted to address something really quick before we move on. One of the texters on the text line asked me, Blake, serious question. Since the Key and Peele skit, how many times have you been called Balake? I can seriously tell you, 816, that it has been pretty much ever since that episode appeared. Most people just call me that now. My real name, Blake, has pretty much gone out the window. So Balake, even at my other job outside of this, is pretty much what my moniker is now. So thanks, Key and Peele. Appreciate you possibly ruining my life.
Text line also was in a home run or a Heisman worth 13 home runs. LOL, he hit 400, slugging 663. What a ton of at-bats for Bo in college. But yes, I'm excited about this new draft pick. I think Brady Senior's going to be pretty excited about that too, don't you? Being a Gator, they didn't cross paths probably, but being a former Gator and having another Gator.
It's always good to have alma mater on the team.
All right, Blake, these over-unders came out. Did the wide receivers the other day, but I didn't get your opinion on this. I am curious your thoughts. Hollywood Brown, regular season receptions. Over under 60.5. I'm definitely going the over there because he's going to be counted on to be the number one, right?
Yeah, I'm going the over.
It'd be extremely disappointing if he only had 60.5. Marquise Hollywood Brown's regular season receiving yards over under 775.5. Give me the over on that. I mean, Rashee Rice. Again, we don't know his situation. That's the thing. Like, is he going to miss any games or he might not miss any at all this year? So we don't know. But I think he's going to be counted on. I think he gets over that 775, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, not knowing Rashee Rice's situation is take that out of the whole equation right now. I'm going to go over, but I don't know if it'll be by much. I hope so, but he might become just the long ball guy. I'd like to see him be the good route running, intermediate route guy, as well as the long ball guy. So it'll be interesting, but I'm going to say over, but maybe not by that much.
His over under regular season touchdowns is 5.5.
I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say he's got 5.
You're saying right at 5. Oh, man.
Right at 5.
So that hook gets you.
He just doesn't have a good track record for a lot of touchdowns.
Well, he's missed 8 games the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But as far as his touchdown totals have been, he's got 7, 8, 6, 3, and 4. So that 5.5 is a good number. I'm going to take the over because I believe in Hollywood Brown. I think they're going to throw it down and stretch the field a lot. But the new one came out too. We haven't got to it. Isaiah Pacheco. All right. Regular season rushing yards over under 926 or 925.5. I will take the over because I think he gets over 1,000 yards this year. And again, you have the 17 games. Not only that, but if Mahomes keeps, you know, squeezing this defense further back, you're not going to have guys creeping up in the box. So being a running back in this offense should be a dream. I'm expecting 1,000 yards from Isaiah this year.
I'm expecting 1,000 too. I think this is the year that he eclipses it. I just think with how much firepower they're going to have through the air, he's going to have a lot of wide open lanes to run through.
And he should, right? He should. He's going to be counted on heavily. You know, that's why they bring Clyde back, so you have, you know, someone that understands the offense. But Isaiah Pacheco, last year, he ended up with 935 in 14 games. again, if he plays 17 games, he's well over that 1,000-yard mark. All right, Isaiah Pacheco, regular season receptions over under 40.5.
Under 40.5. Isaiah Pacheco?
He hit 44 last year, and I do think it's a big emphasis of this offense to throw out of the backfield. So he hit 44 last year.
I didn't realize he had 44 last year.
He hit 13 as rookie, but he ended up with 44 last year.
And he does catch the ball well out of the backfield.
I'm going over on that one, too.
Oh, that's just so hard because they spread the ball around so much. I'm just going to be the devil's advocate. I'm going to be the under. I think he gets 42.
Well, here's where I will do the under, because the over-under on receiving yards is 250.5. He had 244 last year in those 44 receptions. So he had 44 receptions. You only ended up with 244 yards. That is the one I will go the under on.
I will take the under as well.
You'll take the under as well.
Yeah, I just think there's so many guys and so much talent on this wide receiver team that there wasn't last year that I just don't think he's going to get quite the looks, and therefore if he's not getting the looks, he's not getting the yards.
Well, we come back, we'll check in once again on the All-Star game to see if any Royals are in the game at this point. It is 3-3, bottom of the fifth, two outs. It's time for a Royal to
Aroldis Chapman. Or is that Chapman? Somebody just gave up a home run. No, that's not Chapman. Someone just gave up a home run.
Who hit the home run?
Duran.
Okay. Okay, so the American League is back. That we'll talk at 5-3 now. 5-3 American League over the National League. We'll update you that before we get out of here next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Final segment, Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. End of the fifth. 5-3 American League. Royals have four All-Stars. And not one has played. They have used five pitchers in the American League, but we have no Royals. I assume we'll see him. I mean, obviously, Rutschman, people are wanting to see him, but they'll put Perez in here for the last couple of innings, probably. Gunnar Henderson at shortstop is 0-for-2, by the way. Let's go ahead and put Bobby in there, but give him three innings, man. At least. And the American League's the home team. They may not have batted in the bottom of the ninth, right? But we've seen no Royals, my friend.
Do you think before the end of the game, all four get in?
I don't. I think we see three of four. I mean, you could. I mean, if they go back to back, and keep in mind, Bochy knows Cole Reagans. He was with him at Texas. So if they go back to back, I do believe you'll see Sal. Yeah, I got to believe Bobby's coming in for Gunnar. I think Sal replaces Rutschman. I think you'll get to see him at least for an inning. So I'd like to say four out of four, but it could just be three out of four.
Yeah, I definitely think after you go 0-for-2, Gunnar, get him out. Get him out. Put Bob in. I definitely think you see Salvi. Do you think we see Lugo and not Reagans then? Or do you think they put in Reagans and not Lugo?
I don't know, man. You'd think Bochy would have, history with Cole Reagans,
And how are you not going to put in one of the best American League pitchers in Seth Lugo, though, too?
Bochy's got the largest melon I've ever seen. No, seriously, dude. I mean, it has to be like size 8.5 hat, man.
He's a smart guy with a big old brain and that big old nod.
Oh, he's a winner, man. I mean, guys, what he did in San Francisco is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, Cole Reagans is in. There we go. We got our Royals alert. Cole Reagans is in the game now.
Woo!
So Cole Reagans will face Bryce Harper. Hadn't come back from commercial break, just a little bit ahead of it, but Cole Reagans versus Bryce Harper. What happens? What happens? Text line 913-586-7610, J Southland Toast Service text line. Blake, any guesses before we see what happens here? You calling strikeout? You calling a Bryce Harper hit? You calling a Bryce Harper home run? What are you calling? Or just a throw out?
I'm going full in. Reagans comes in, first All-Star game, getting the strikeout on Harper.
I'm taking the strikeout, too. I'm taking the strikeout, too. So we'll let you know what Cole Reagans does here. It kind of stinks because last night Bobby was still rolling in the home run derby. We had to shut down. We had to turn off the mics. We had to get it out and be done with it before we could see what happened. Oh, Perez is now in the game, too, as well. So
all right,
Riggins is still in the Perez.
And Bobby.
And Bobby's in.
Okay.
So now three of the four in. All right. You know what? I'll say there's a good chance you see four because I think it's a
That was close.
It's almost a home run for Bryce Harper, but it wasn't. It was an out. So Cole Riggins gets him out. But we have three Royals in the game, and I bet we see Lugo now. I mean, there was an argument he was going to be the all-star starter. He had that rough game in Boston. He was going to be the all-star starter, right? Cole Riggins has to pitch in this game. Or no, Seth Lugo. Excuse me. I said Cole Riggins. Seth Lugo has to pitch, right?
You would think so.
Well, I don't think there's any question that they'll... I think there's no question they're going to pitch Seth Lugo at some point.
I mean, he still has the most wins, or either tied or has the most wins in the AL, right? So why would you not?
He's got the most starts in the American League at 20. He's got the most wins. Actually, he's the most starts anybody in baseball. He's got the most wins. And he did have the best DRA. By the way, he's got 127 innings pitched. He only had 146 last year in 26 starts.
Wow.
He's got the highest ERA plus in baseball. Yeah. Seth Lugo's had a hell of a year. I have a feeling, man, I mean, they're using, I don't know. I have a feeling they'll go Lugo next inning. I'm going to say they go Riggins, then Lugo.
I love that they put all the Royals in the same inning, though.
Yeah. Made it interesting. I didn't see Salvi there behind the plate, so. You know.
It's hard to miss. He's gigantic.
Seth Lugo did have the best ERA. He's fourth in ERA at this point. But Cole Riggins, what a story he's been, man. What a find. What a trade. What a trade. Chapman and you get Cole Riggins. Okay. Oh,
that
no.
That wasn't Bobby's fault, though. That second baseman ran into him a little bit.
No, he kind of did. Bobby Witt threw the ball. It hit the wall.
Up the middle hit, and the second baseman came over a little too far into Bobby's area and almost clipped him.
You know what? Almost clipped him. I kind of threw him off balance because
yeah.
He had to throw the ball off balance.
Well, and he wasn't able to come through on his follow-through because second baseman was there. Was that
Trey
Turner?
Yeah, I'll defend Bobby on that one.
That wasn't his fault.
That wasn't his fault.
This isn't us being homers either. We just watched the play happen.
That's not our fault. Well, who's got the most wins in Major League Baseball? It's Chris Sale's got 13. Lugo has 11. So Lugo's the most in the American League.
I thought Lugo was at 12.
He's only 11. Yeah, only at 11 at this point.
What stat cast are you using? What stats?
I use Baseball Reference.
Baseball Reference, okay.
Yeah. All right, two away now.
Got the fourth and second.
All right, so two away. National League in those hideous uniforms. The American League the same. But at least we got two for Cole Riggins. But it's kind of interesting we had three of the four. You would have to say, right? Lugo's played, right? I mean, he's got to. He was thought to be the starter, like, up until the week before the All-Star game. See, the guy that's almost your starter and you're not playing him?
There's no chance he's not going to get in the game.
I think he is. I think they're going to start emptying out the bullpen here. But I'd definitely put Lugo in there.
AL up 5-3.
5-3.
Josh Naylor just made an error at first base, but, again, error on him, not on Reagan's.
So I will probably be home to finish watching this like I did Home Run Derby yesterday.
I'd hope so.
Because the pace of play in this one, think, okay, 2 hours, 2:15, 2.5 hours. I think it's going to go longer than that, but it should. It's the All-Star game. I'm just curious how long they're going to do this, you know, because they have the money. It's getting out of hand. Well, eventually the players will be like, yeah, we want to skip this. We want to have a break. We want to go to Cancun for a couple days. Yeah. Not sure what they want to do.
I would hope they'd keep it up. It's the best All-Star game to watch outside of NHL.
It is a fun All-Star game.
Hey, Reagan's got out of the inning. Let's go.
Cole Reagan's out of the inning. Here we go. Let's go, Royals. Nice work. Nice work. Throwing the salve there and Bobby Witt there at shortstop. It's good hearing Eli Drinkwitz today with Carrington's Missouri Takeover Day on his show. It's Kansas tomorrow, K-State the day after that. It's great hearing Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs are back, baby. Chiefs are back. Rookies and quarterbacks. Blake Schneiders. Awesome job, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Bink.
All right, brother. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. It's been fun tonight, Blake.
It's been fun. I wanted to address something really quick before we move on. One of the texters on the text line asked me, Blake, serious question. Since the Key and Peele skit, how many times have you been called Balake? I can seriously tell you, 816, that it has been pretty much ever since that episode appeared. Most people just call me that now. My real name, Blake, has pretty much gone out the window. So Balake, even at my other job outside of this, is pretty much what my moniker is now. So thanks, Key and Peele. Appreciate you possibly ruining my life.
Text line also, was in a home run or a Heisman worth 13 home runs, LOL. He hit 400, slugging 663. What a ton of at-bats for Bo in college. But yes, I'm excited about this new draft pick. I think Brady Singer's going to be pretty excited about that too, don't you? Being a Gator, they didn't cross paths probably, but being a former Gator and having another Gator.
It's always good to have alma mater on the team.
All right, Blake, these over-unders came out. Did the wide receivers the other day, but I didn't get your opinion on this. I am curious your thoughts. Hollywood Brown, regular season receptions. Over under 60.5. I'm definitely going the over there because he's going to be counted on to be the number one, right?
Yeah, I'm going the over.
It'd be extremely disappointing if he only had 60.5. Marquise Hollywood Brown's regular season receiving yards over under 775.5. Give me the over on that. I mean, Rashee Rice. Again, we don't know his situation. That's the thing. Like, is he going to miss any games, or he might not miss any at all this year? So we don't know. But I think he's going to be counted on. I think he gets over that 775, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, not knowing Rashee Rice's situation is take that out of the whole equation right now. I'm going to go over, but I don't know if it'll be by much. I hope so, but he might become just the long ball guy. I'd like to see him be the good route running, intermediate route guy, as well as the long ball guy. So it'll be interesting, but I'm going to say over, but maybe not by that much.
His over under regular season touchdowns is 5.5.
I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say he's got 5.
You're saying right at 5. Oh, man.
Right at 5.
So that hook gets you.
He just doesn't have a good track record for a lot of touchdowns.
Well, he's missed 8 games the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But as far as his touchdown totals have been, he's got 7, 8, 6, 3, and 4. So that 5.5 is a good number. I'm going to take the over because I believe in Hollywood Brown. I think they're going to throw it down and stretch the field a lot. But the new one came out, too. We haven't got to it. Isaiah Pacheco. All right, regular season rushing yards, over under 926 or 925.5. I will take the over because I think he gets over 1,000 yards this year. And, again, you have the 17 games. Not only that, but if Mahomes keeps, squeezing this defense further back, you're not going to have guys creeping up in the box. So being a running back in this offense should be a dream. I'm expecting 1,000 yards from Isaiah this year.
I'm expecting 1,000, too. I think this is the year that he eclipses it. I just think with how much firepower they're going to have through the air, he's going to have a lot of wide-open lanes to run through.
And he should, right? He should. He's going to be counted on heavily. That's why they bring Clyde back, so you have, someone that understands the offense. But Isaiah Pacheco, last year, he ended up with 935 in 14 games. Again, if he plays 17 games, he's well over that 1,000-yard mark. All right, Isaiah Pacheco, regular season receptions, over under 40.5.
Under 40.5. Isaiah Pacheco?
He hit 44 last year, and I do think it's a big emphasis of this offense to throw out of the backfield. So he hit 44 last year.
I didn't realize he had 44 last year.
He hit 13 as rookie, but he ended up with 44 last year.
And he does catch the ball well out of the backfield.
I'm going over on that one, too.
Oh, that's just so hard because they spread the ball around so much. I'm just going to be the devil's advocate. I'm going to be the under. I think he gets 42.
Well, here's where I will do the under because the over-under on receiving yards is 250.5. He had 244 last year in those 44 receptions. So you had 44 receptions, you only ended up with 244 yards. That is the one I will go the under on.
I will take the under as well.
You'll take the under as well.
Yeah, I just think there's so many guys and so much talent on this wide receiver team that there wasn't last year that I just don't think he's going to get quite the looks, and therefore if he's not getting the looks, he's not getting the yards.
Well, we come back, we'll check in once again on the All-Star game to see if any Royals are in the game at this point. It is 3-3, bottom of the fifth, two outs. It's time for a Royal to
Aroldis Chapman, or is that Chapman? Somebody just gave up a home run. No, that's not Chapman. Someone just gave up a home run.
Who hit the home run?
Duran.
Okay, so the American League is back. That we'll talk at 5-3 now. 5-3 American League over the National League. We'll update you that before we get out of here next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Final segment, Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. End of the fifth. 5-3 American League. Royals have four All-Stars. And not one has played. They have used five pitchers in the American League, but we have no Royals. I assume we'll see him. I mean, obviously, Rushman, people are wanting to see him, but they'll put Perez in here for the last couple of innings, probably. Gunnar Henderson at shortstop is 0-2, by the way. Let's go ahead and put Bobby in there, but give him three innings, man. At least. And the American League's the home team. They may not bat it in the bottom of the ninth, right? But we've seen no Royals, my friend.
Do you think before the end of the game, all four get in?
I don't. I think we see three of four. I mean, you could. I mean, if they go back to back, and keep in mind, Bochy knows Cole Reagans. He was with him at Texas. So if they go back to back. I do believe you'll see Sal. I got to believe Bobby's coming in for Gunnar. I think Sal replaces Rushman. I think you'll get to see him at least for an inning. So I'd like to say four out of four, but it could just be three out of four.
Yeah, I definitely think after you go 0-2, Gunnar, get him out. Get him out. Put Bob in. I definitely think you see Salvi. Do you think we see Lugo and not Reagans then? Or do you think they put in Reagans and not Lugo?
I don't know, man. You'd think Bochy would have, you know, history with Cole Reagans, you know?
And how are you not going to put in one of the best American League pitchers in Seth Lugo, though, too?
Bochy's got the largest melon I've ever seen. No, seriously, dude. I mean, it has to be like size 8.5 hat, man.
He's a smart guy with a big old brain and that big old nod.
Oh, he's a winner, man. I mean, that guy's what he did in San Francisco was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, Cole Reagans is in. There we go. We got a Royals alert. Cole Reagans is in the game now.
Woo!
So Cole Reagans will face Bryce Harper. Hadn't come back from commercial break, just a little bit ahead of it, but Cole Reagans versus Bryce Harper. What happens? What happens? Text line 913-586-7610, J Southland Tow Service text line. Blake, any guesses before we see what happens here? You calling strikeout? You calling a Bryce Harper hit? You calling a Bryce Harper home run? What are you calling? Or just a throw out?
I'm just, you know what? I'm going full in. Reagans comes in, first All-Star game, getting the strikeout on
Harper. I'm taking the strikeout, too. So we'll let you know what Cole Reagans does here. It kind of stinks because last night Bobby was still rolling in the home run derby. You know, we had to shut down. We had to turn off the mics. You know, we had to get it out and be done with it before we could see what happened. Oh, Perez is now in the game, too, as well. So
all right,
Reagans is still in the Perez.
And there's Bobby.
And Bobby's in.
Okay.
So now three of the four in. All right. You know what? I'll say there's a good chance you see four because I think it's a.
Whew. That was close.
It's almost a home run for Bryce Harper, but it wasn't. It was an out. So Cole Reagans gets him out. But we have three Royals in the game, and I bet we see Lugo now. I mean, there was an argument he was going to be the All-Star starter. He had that rough game in Boston. He was going to be the All-Star starter, right? Cole Reagans has to pitch in this game. Or no, Seth Lugo. Excuse me. I said Cole Reagans. Seth Lugo has to pitch, right?
You would think so.
Well, I don't think there's any question that they'll... I think there's no question they're going to pitch Seth Lugo at some point.
I mean, he still has the most wins, or either tied or has the most wins in the AL, right? So why would you not?
He's got the most starts in the American League at 20. He's got the most wins. Actually, he's the most starts anybody in baseball. He's got the most wins. And he did have the best ERA. By the way, he's got 127 innings pitched. He only had 146 last year in 26 starts.
Wow.
He's got the highest ERA plus in baseball. Yeah. Seth Lugo's had a hell of a year. I have a feeling, man, I mean, they're using, I don't know. I have a feeling they'll go Lugo next inning. I'm going to say they go Reagans, then Lugo.
I love that they put all the Royals in the same inning, though.
Yeah. Made it interesting. I didn't see Salvi there behind the plate, so, you know.
It's hard to miss. He's gigantic.
Seth Lugo did have the best ERA. He's fourth in ERA at this point. But Cole Reagans, what a story he's been, man. What a find. What a trade. What a trade. Chapman, and you get Cole Reagans. Okay. Oh,
that
no.
That wasn't Bobby's fault, though. That second baseman ran into him a little bit.
No, he kind of did. Bobby Witt threw the ball. It hit the wall.
Up the middle hit, and the second baseman came over a little too far into Bobby's area and almost clipped him.
You know what? Almost clipped him. I kind of threw him off balance because he had to throw the ball off balance.
Well, and he wasn't able to come through on his follow-through because second baseman was there. Was that
Trey Turner?
Yeah,
I'll defend Bobby on that one. That was,
that wasn't his fault.
That wasn't his fault.
This isn't us being homers either. We just watched the play happen.
That's not our fault. Well, Chris, who's got the most wins in Major League Baseball? It's Chris Sale's got 13. Lugo has 11. So Lugo's the most in the American League.
I thought Lugo was at 12.
He's only 11. Yeah, only at 11 at this point.
What stat cast are you using? What stats?
I use Baseball Reference.
Baseball ESPN. Reference. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Two away now.
Got the fourth and second.
All right. So two away. National League in those hideous uniforms. The American League the same. But at least we got two for Cole Reagans. But it's kind of interesting. We had three of the four. You would have to say, right? Lugo's played, right? I mean, he's got to. He was thought to be the starter, like, up until the week before the All-Star game. See, the guy that's almost your starter and you're not playing him?
There's no chance he's not going to get in the game.
I think he is. I think they're going to start emptying out the bullpen here. I'd definitely put Lugo in there.
AL up. 5-3.
5-3.
Josh Naylor just made an error at first base, but again, error on him, not on Reagans.
So I will probably be home to finish watching this like I did Home Run Derby yesterday.
I'd hope so.
Because the pace of play in this one, think, okay, 2 hours, 2:15, 2.5 hours. I think it's going to go longer than that, but it should. It's the All-Star game. I'm just curious how long they're going to do this, you know. Because then the money is getting out of hand. Well, eventually the players will be like, yeah, we want to skip this. We want to have a break. We want to go to Cancun for a couple days. Yeah. Not sure what they want to do.
I would hope they'd keep it up. It's the best All-Star game to watch outside of NHL.
It is a fun All-Star game.
Hey, Reagan's got out of the inning. Let's go.
Cole Reagan's out of the inning. Here we go. Let's go, Royals. Nice work. Nice work. Throwing the salve there. And Bobby Witt there at shortstop. It's good hearing Eli Drinkwitz today with Carrington's Missouri Takeover Day on his show. It's Kansas tomorrow, K-State the day after that. It's great hearing Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs are back, baby. Chiefs are back. Rookies and quarterbacks. Blake Schneiders, awesome job, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Bink.
All right, brother. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic view.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.